Hey, my name's Caden, and I want to thank you for joining us today. We hope this message inspires you, builds your faith, and gives you perspective to see God is moving in your life. Enjoy the message.
It's good to see y'all. If you don't know me, my name's Brett. I'm one of the pastors here on staff, and we are wrapping up a series. I think this is week six, where we've been calling it Rhythms of Renewal, the title borrowed from a book by Rebecca Lyons, who came and opened up our series for us, where we've been looking at a series of practices that we can engage in our lives to help us live life to the full. These are aspects of God's character that we can incorporate into our lives that are gifts that help us live life the way we were supposed to, more the way we were supposed to, particularly around addressing issues like anxiety, things like depression, isolation, overwhelmment, which is something that I imagine most of us are carrying at some level. But either you or someone that you love a lot maybe struggles with this quite a bit. Or on a regular basis, or on an irregular basis when it kind of pops up above the surface. And we want to talk about that from our perspective. Now, as we're wrapping up the series, what I want to do is look at kind of an aspect of God's character that I find interesting, because it's the one that he kind of uses to introduce himself in our scriptures. And introductions are important, right? When someone wants to get to know you and they say, "So tell me about you," and maybe they've already gotten your name, maybe the next thing you say is where you work or where you're from, or you talk about your family or hobbies or interests or something like that. In other words, we pull on things that we find rather important and kind of good starting places for people to understand who we are and what we value and the kind of people that we're going to be, so that we can figure out what our relationship is going to be like. That's normal. Now, when God introduces himself to us in our scriptures, we get something maybe that we don't think of often or in our daily lives. We talk about God as creator. So I want to talk about God and creation. In our scripture, it opens up. You've probably heard the phrase, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." In Hebrew, it goes like this, "Bereshit bara Elohim." Ha shamayim v'ha aretz, right? And Bereshit is in the beginning. Bara is the second word of scripture. It means to create, Second word of scripture. Before God even has his own name in the flow of Hebrew vocabulary, we get to bara. Bara's definition goes something like this: to change or create, to cut down. It's a word that seems to come from like carpentry. It means to carve or shape specifically around wood. To select, to make, to feed is a formative process. That when we talk about creation, we're often not just talking about a single one-time event. We're talking about an ongoing process where something is like feeding a child or feeding an animal or feeding a plant, that it slowly grows into what it's supposed to be. Now, bara is what is talked about when we get introduced to God's character. So God is into creation. He's into selection. He's into carving and molding. He's into feeding and nurturing and cultivation. And the second line of scripture says, "Now the earth was formless and void, and the Spirit hovered over the waters." Now, in ancient Hebrew society, the waters, the deep, taom is the word there. It means chaos. It's frightening. It's terrifying. We think of water and we think like cleansing, pretty, nice. They were like, "That stuff is scary. You go down there for too long, you don't come back up," right? It's dark. I can't see what's down there. I can't control it. Water was a symbol of chaos and death in their world. And so the Spirit of God moves towards chaos and engages it for the formation of creation. That he moves towards nothingness to make something, that he moves towards chaos to bring order. G.K. Chesterton says that order is so that good things can run wild. That God brings order into the world so that good things can run wild. And the authors of scripture have constantly looked to creation to experience a sense of who God is. Just to cherry pick, unashamedly cherry picking a few out of the Bible, Jeremiah chapter 10. Verse 12, "But God made the heavens, made the earth by his power. He founded the world by his wisdom. He stretched out the heavens by his understanding. So as God is erupting the universe into being billions of years ago, right, that this is by his power, his wisdom, and his understanding. The book of Romans in chapter 1. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made so that people are without excuse. So the gift here is that someone that maybe has never even heard the name of Jesus, born on the other side of the world, never has access, that they can still experience some sense of God's eternal power and divine nature simply by looking at the fact that creation exists, that it functions, that it humbles us, that it is grace just to be alive. And that there is something, some sense of someone out there that wants to care for us and has provided a world for us that works and has gifted us with creation. The Psalms just won't shut up about God's creation. So just to grab one out of Psalm 104, how many are your works, Lord? In wisdom, you made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. That he's looking around the world going, this is fascinating. And it tells me something about how wonderful God is. You know, if we could maybe look at just a few examples of what we call creation when we think about, maybe standard when looking at the sunset over the mountains. I'm a mountains over a beach person. I grew up on the beach, did that. I want the mountains. And I would not hold that if you paid me. But it's cool. It's fascinating, right? We have a world full of just the variety and like the enjoyment of the things that are out there in creation. Microscopic beings, that there is entire life systems that we don't even get to see. It's just God alone that gets to enjoy them unless you carry around a microscope all the time. This is the God of the Eye of God Nebula. Hubble Telescope took this picture, which is fascinating, or the Pillars of Creation Nebula. There is a vast universe out there that God spun into existence. And why? Why? Well, the ancient creation stories from pretty much every other tradition, every other thought system or religion, talks about creation being born out of violence, out of war, or as the unintentional and often unwanted byproduct of some sexual relationship between the gods. Or there's the secular worldview that everything is just fantastically random and man, did we hit the lottery. That the universe is so finely tuned that life can exist and that we're on a planet that if it didn't have its axis at the right tilt, no life on Earth. If the moon wasn't there at just the right distance, no life on Earth. If water wasn't completely unique in how it interacts when it freezes, no life on Earth. I mean, you know, over and over and over and over again, and man, did we hit the lottery. Or the opening poems and songs of the Bible that describe creation talk about God creating and saying, it's good, it's good, it's good. And creation seems to flow out of his joy. And when he creates humanity, he says it's not just good, it is tov me'od, good, tov me'od. We don't have a translation for it in our language. We just don't have a good one. It's like, it kind of means three exclamation points underlined in bold. It doesn't just mean it's good, it means like, it's good! And God kind of loses his mind for a minute announcing his joy over creation. We think that God creates because he just loves it. And that means he just loves you. And when he looks at the vast universe, whatever is out there, the things that we know about, the things that we don't know about, it's expressing God's joy that he wants to bring order to chaos. When he sees nothing, he wants to step in and make something. And it says we're made in his image. So something about that is on us, is in us. So I just don't want to talk about God in creation. I want to talk about you in creation. That part of who you are in the image of God. You are built to create, to leave a dent in the universe, to make something happen, to bring order out of chaos. When we look at one of the opening stories of the Bible, Genesis chapter 2. Now the Lord God planted a garden in the east in Eden, so he's making a garden. Then he put the man he formed, so creating humanity. The Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, so he's creating trees that work and reproduce and grow. Trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Verse 15, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. That a part of the mandate of humanity is that we are to steward and cultivate creation the way that God has. That we are to engage the world in a way that cares for it, and that we would take care of it and cultivate it. Because if anybody have a garden, just two people. Anybody have a, Jay's like, would you call it a garden? Anybody have a front lawn? Okay, what is the one thing you have to do for your front lawn to be a complete disaster? Nothing. Nothing. As long as you do nothing, your lawn is a complete disaster. And it's the same way with the pile of laundry that you have building. As long as you do nothing, it's a complete disaster. It's the same thing with your marriage or your friendships. As long as we do nothing, they're a complete disaster, right? And we were put into the world to step towards chaos, and bring order. Every time you sort the laundry, you are like God. Whose is this? Okay. Whose is that? All right. We are bringing order to chaos. Often, I think that sometimes my friend Jessica Lagrone, she's a fantastic preacher. She's been here to preach. And she says that sometimes we interpret chaos as the check engine light of lost causes. When we look at our life and we say chaos, we're like, well, I guess it is time to abandon ship. Right? The laundry pile, you're like, just burn it. I don't know. When we look at our friendships and our relationships, when we look at the world out there, when we look at society and we see chaos, we think, well, lost cause. Not if we're Christians. We see that as a place that God wants to move toward, to out of joy bring order. That's what we mean when we say creation. Over and over again, we see that we're gifted for this. Just one example, if I could pull one out of the Old Testament. This is Exodus chapter 35. I know many of you, this is your favorite chapter in the Bible. Okay. They're building the tabernacle in the desert. The Israelites have been rescued out of Egypt. They are living in the Sinai desert, and God is giving them instructions to build a tabernacle, which is basically porta-temple. It is a temple that you can carry with you through the desert because it's made out of fabric and on poles. Very functional. It says, then Moses said to the Israelites, see, the Lord has chosen Bezalel, son of Uri. Anybody in here pregnant and looking for a name of a male child? Bezalel is up for grabs. He will never get a mug at the gas station with his name on it, but it's okay. Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, from the tribe of Judah, he has filled him with the Spirit of God and with wisdom and with understanding, with knowledge and with all kinds of skills to make artistic designs for work in gold, silver, and bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood, and engage in all kinds of artistic crafts. Verse 35, he has filled him with all kinds of skill to do all kinds of work as engravers, designers, embroiderers in blue and purple, scarlet, yarn, and fine linen, and weavers, all of them skilled workers and designers. That God has this group of people, and he's working on his temple, and like, it doesn't take that much to get some poles and some fabric. But he says, hey, there's some folks here that are filled with my Spirit to bring unprofitable detail, to bring impractical beauty to this place. They know how to work with wood, they know how to work with metal, they know how to work with fabric, and they're going to make this place not more functional, just more wonderful. And that my Spirit is filling them to do that. Now, it's not just churchy stuff like working on the temple. Think about in Colossians chapter 3. It says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. Not as working for human masters, but working for the Lord. Colossians 3:23. That whatever it is that we do, we can be filled with the Spirit of God to engage the world, to bring beauty. Not just function. Function is great. but to bring even more than function. Think about the wide variety of human expression in art. Like in the oldest records that we have, these like artifacts from history, like cave paintings, that people thousands and thousands and thousands of years ago looking at a blank cave wall and saying, I gotta put something there, right? Or design and fashion. Like, look at just how beautiful, not practical, just beautiful it is. What about this is an installation in the middle of the desert? I mean, doesn't that just capture you? Someone took time to do that. Architecture, like it's something that is just fantastic for the sake of being fantastic and interesting. The American muscle car, can I get an amen? Do you need to go that fast? No. Is it fun? Yes, right? Pottery, why? Why in every culture in the world, Stone Age cultures, or the most developed societies in the world, why do we feel the need just to make something beautiful? To make something fantastic from the time that you were two and you got your hands in the finger paint and you went for the walls? Why? There's no evolutionary benefit there. There's no competing for resources there. There's just, I want to make this world better. And I think it spans as many ways that we can think. And you know, maybe people would say, I'm not artsy. I'm not talking about being artsy. That's fine. That's one expression of that. I'm a little artsy. I like poetry. I'll go watch dance from people that know how to do it. Not me dance, them dance. I'm a musician. I like going to an art museum. I like abstract art. I like fiction, so I'm a little artsy. But it's not just that. I think every one of us has some way that we are wired as a gift from God to express beauty in the world. Jordan, who's playing and singing over here, do you know that he just won the first prize at the fair for chocolate chip cookies? Did you know that? How about that? How about that? Yeah. Find him in the lobby, tell him to make more, right? And look, I have taken up cooking. I just have learned to enjoy cooking because sometimes in ministry, I don't know if it's working, right? You work hard all week, you get a good email, you're like, hey, maybe we're, and then you get a bad email and you're like, I guess we're not, you know, and there's all of this like, is anything happening, you know, that's good? And are we making progress? Sometimes it feels like 3 steps forward, 4 steps back, 6 steps forward, 2 steps back over and over again. I can go home, kiss my wife and kids, start smashing garlic within 5 minutes of walking in the door, and 40 minutes later, we're eating whatever it is, hallelujah. We did something. I can look at it and say, thank you. We worked on something. Yesterday, I spent two hours making a balloon arch at the Hispanic Cultural Festival on the other side of town. And I took this balloon arch outside with Melanie Smolin and we set it up and the wind blew it over. It touched the grass and apparently the grass is made out of razor blades. And the whole thing went, you know, but for about 3 seconds, I looked at something I had worked on and thought, hey, I did something today. Baking, woodwork, putting pen to paper, cleaning your house, making the lawn look like it's not terrible. Whatever it is, you have some expression as wide as sky. I'm sure there's millions of examples, and I can't think of enough of ways that you can engage in the world regularly, creatively, to bring order to chaos. We have the disaster response team here at LaCroix recently went down to Louisiana in response to the hurricane. And these guys, they show up and they start bringing order to chaos with like skid steers and chainsaws. You know, this is the image of God in them at work, moving towards the chaos to bring something back to life, to make something happen. And these guys know how to work a chainsaw, and that is the image of God at work in them to step towards the mess and make something happen. I think that we become more alive when we regularly live into that in some way. One of the biggest barriers of that I think, is that most of the time we consume someone else's creativity, that it has turned into a commodity that we enjoy. And I'm for all of those individual things. Like before recorded music, how did people listen to music? They played it. There was someone in the home a lot of times, and you'd gather in the living room or in the one room house that they were in, and someone would play the violin or sing or play a piano or bang on a drum or whatever it is. The world around, we have figured out music. There's not like a culture that just hasn't gotten around to that one yet. You know, but now we go to Spotify and we put on Lizzo. You know? And I love Spotify. I'm glad it's there. But that has removed some opportunity for me to grab my guitar and pull my family around in the living room and punish them by making them hear my bad Tom Petty cover, right? You know, but you know, think about food. Before there was a plethora of restaurants of every stripe. Many people were more engaged in the art and creativity of making food, woodworking. You know, now I order furniture off of Target.com. It gets delivered to my house, and I like screw in the legs, and I have a couch. You know, before that, people had to know how to work with things. Now, again, Jordan pointed out, like, if you want food, if you want clothing, and you don't have to make it, if you want furniture, you can knock out all three and just go to Cracker Barrel, right? They've got all of it. And here's the thing. I love all of that. But sometimes we need to probably push back on receiving someone else's creativity, turning on YouTube again, whatever, and engage in creating something ourselves. Whether that's getting your hands covered in sawdust in the garage, or whether that's pulling out a puzzle to work on, or making food, carrying it to a neighbor, putting pen to paper. Maybe it's been decades since you've done that. Maybe it's coding. I don't even really know what that means. I just know it's a thing that my kid knows how to do more than I do. Bringing order to chaos can be a place where we express God's call on our life to engage creation and take care of it. So maybe practically today, is there something that you have been neglecting? We're just not thinking about it. It's been off your radar. And there's a way for you, however you are and whoever you are, where you can regularly step towards nothingness and make something, where you can step towards chaos and bring order so that good things can run wild. Just unprofitable detail much of the time, just to make something pleasant, enjoyable, wonderful. And that it's interesting, when we do that, our anxiety comes down. That anxiety, remember we talked about weeks ago, is a gift from God. It's to help us move. It's intended to help us move. But when it doesn't have anywhere to go, it just sits and it like calcifies in us. And maybe we can capture anxiety as a gift and say, when I start to feel that, I can use it to help me move into making and into creating and into shaping. There are no silver bullets, but maybe that's a start. Maybe that's a practice that you can engage in. What would that be for you? Maybe you've forgotten. Remember, I had a season in life after a lot of change. You know, got married a mom, adopted a son. We had our second kid 13 months later. And that much change in my life, I kind of looked and I was like, oh, anything that looked like creation or hobby or any of that had just like gone. And I had to get a little bit more intentional about finding new avenues for that. Maybe it's been a while for you. And just to recap a little, is there one of these rhythms from this series that maybe it's time for you to identify and say that? I'm going to incorporate that into my life. And here's the thing. We don't have to just pick one. I want to go through them a little bit and then talk about maybe some ways that we can engage with them very practically. We talked about serving. Where are you taking time? Where am I taking time? Not to take on the burden of serving, but to receive the gift of serving. That we become more like God when we serve, we experience joy when we serve. Or restoring, taking care of our bodies, the bodies God has given us, by what we put into it, by what we do with it, that helps us find life more and more to the full. Rest. Ron talked about Sabbath, setting aside a unique time in the week, if at all possible. I know people's lives are different, so maybe you have to get a little creative in how you practice it, but setting aside a time for nothing but rest, worship, and delight. And I can't figure out why people are pushing back on that one. I'm saying you can have ice cream for dinner. This is wonderful. This is from the Lord. Sabbath. Try it on for size. Rest, worship, delight. Maybe it's connection. It's relationships with others, making space for that. Or creativity. Something that maybe is worth mentioning is you don't have to just pick one and try to figure out how you're going to figure that out into your life. We can bundle like Geico. Is it Geico that does the bundling? Like the disaster response guys, listen, they're going to serve. They are engaging in creativity by bringing order to chaos. They're doing it with each other. That's connection. They're being physical. They're working on their own bodies in that way. I mean, over and over and over again, there's ways that we can combine these things together so that we can find a way to flourish. Because I know the practical thing is time is hard to find sometimes. But here's the deal. God made us for more than we are experiencing much of the time. And there's a lot of do's and don'ts in life. God has some gifts he just wants to give you. He just wants to give you through things like serving, things like connection, rest, restoring your body, connection to others, creativity. So maybe let's receive the life God has for us, yeah? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, help us to not fight you on receiving good gifts. That we wouldn't use our freedom to do what we want to with our lives, but we would use our freedom to say yes to you so that we can find life the way it's supposed to be. God, would you help us to limit our lives in the right ways, to say no to certain things, so that we can experience you in our yes, as we order our lives around your character. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
If you enjoyed today's message, make sure to like and subscribe. Feel free to share this with others that God has put on your heart. And to learn more about LaCroix Church or to find your next steps, head to lacroixchurch.org. Thanks again for checking us out, and we hope to see you soon.